All right, we are live. It is past midnight, and Minor Talk is live, presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. He's Sal Montes. He's Zay Galindo. We are live thanks to Jack in the Box. Thinking way outside the box and open 24-7 because cravings don't have a curfew. Hey, we don't have a curfew tonight. We're on past midnight. It is officially Sunday. This game started on Saturday evening. Jack in the Box is still open, by the way. So if you're looking for a late night snack, if you want to catch up on some munchies late night with us here on Minor Talk, make sure you check out Jack in the Box. Any of their locations open 24/7, 365. That's Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk as we get things started. Hawaii beats UTEP 66-61. Wasn't a surprise that UTEP lost this game. What was a surprise is the Miners were in this game and had a halftime lead, 29-25. They relinquished that lead in the second half. I mean, you can look at a lot of things, right? The free throw line, UTEP just simply got worn out in the second half. No Tyrese Watson, maybe for the foreseeable future, but it didn't really matter. The front court showed up yet again for UTEP. Elijah Jones, all nine games for him, double-digit scoring. He had another double-digit effort today. Liked what he did defensively, and then also chipped in with seven rebounds. Jamal West Jr. with 12, Kasim Watson with 12. Trey Horton gets into double figures today as well. But it wasn't enough for UTEP here tonight. And look, can you take moral victories on games in which UTEP is supposed to win but doesn't win? I don't know. I think that could go both ways. I think you can look at the game against Seattle last week, and you can look at a game against Hawaii tonight and say, those are two better teams than UTEP right now at this moment. And for the Miners to hang in those both games, maybe it's a step in the right direction. I don't know what that means in the long run. Does that mean that they can compete in Conference USA better? No, not necessarily. But does it mean that this team still, you know, is fighting here at this point in non-conference and not letting down? I guess. I look at some of the positives, like them keeping it close against a team who was much taller than them, a team that, you know, presented a ton of size here tonight. And the Miners did a pretty good job of holding guys. You know, I was looking at guys in this matchup that they were going up against in the Rainbow Warriors, like an Isaac Johnson. And I didn't feel like Johnson had the best game whatsoever, just 6 points. That's a seven-footer, the guy who usually leads them in scoring, and he struggled mightily in this one. And it forced Hawaii to kind of go smaller in this matchup, yet they were just too much for the Miners. They overpowered the Miners in the end. Free throw discrepancy was what it was. You look at the free throw line, 22 free throw attempts for Hawaii compared to just 10 by the Miners. And the second half, they took over. So, credit UTEP for keeping it close, but they kind of spoiled UTEP fans' hope and wishes that the Miners were quote-unquote back. I saw a lot of tweets like, hey, UTEP basketball is back, all this kind of stuff, and I was like, wait a second, slow your roll. I think both things can be true, that UTEP did take the steps in the right direction these past two games against Seattle and against Hawaii, but also at the same time, it can also be true that the Miners are still struggling to find victories down the stretch in games, and that's going to hurt them down the line. So I'll swing it to you, Sal. Your opening thoughts after this one, Hawaii beats UTEP 66-61.
My opening thoughts are the original start to the game, in my opinion, when that first possession they had, they turn it over, then Hawaii scores right after. My initial thought after that was like, this is going to be a long night. Like, this, it's going to be a terrible start. And then a complete 180 from that, the Miners just go on this absolute heater for pretty much, I don't know, 75%+ of the first half. And they have that big lead, and I'm like, this is not exactly what I was thinking when the game had started. So you're already in a roller coaster within the first 20 minutes. But kind of like we saw with the Seattle game, hey, you're in there, but when it matters the most, just wasn't able to get it done.
Miners did a good job, you know, tonight from the field. They shot 40% from the field, 36% from beyond the arc. That was 8 of 22. Maybe too many three-point attempts, but also they were missing some layups in this one. I really want to do a deep dive on some of those layups and even dunks. Yeah, look at the layup numbers. 8 for 17 for UTEP. If they make, you know, just maybe 25% more of those, maybe they win this game, Zay, when it's all said and done. To you, if you had to pinpoint what was the determining factor in this game for UTEP losing this one against Hawaii on the road? A game in which I honestly thought they could have won. At halftime, I was like, you know what? UTEP is dominating this game. They let the Rainbow Warriors come back at the end of the first half. It should have been like 29-19 or like 29-15 at the end of the first half. It was 29-25. They let the Rainbow Warriors score a bunch at the end of the first half. But where, in your eyes, did this kind of turn sideways for the Miners and ultimately led to this loss?
You know, there was a couple of different times during this one where, you know, I kind of thought, hey, this, you know, good run for UTEP, but that's it, right? But then they would fight back, and I think that that shows a good sign for this team. But I just think that they're defensively, they did play good. They forced a lot of turnovers. They did what they usually do. But when it was time to buckle down the most, especially down the stretch after that final media timeout, I just felt like they kind of fell apart. You know, the lights got a little bit too bright for this team, and you saw it. I mean, you saw it against Seattle. You see it here again against Hawaii. So for me, I think just defensively, there was a couple of times where people just kind of looked lost, especially late in that second half. And I think that's where they lost this game.
Let's talk about it here on the program. 915-505-6009. A lot of tweets coming in. Don't know if we're going to get a lot of phone calls. It's really late, so not sure if we're going to get a lot of phone calls here on the program. But we will stay on here for, I would say, a half hour plus here on the program today. We'll give you your dose of Miner talk after this one right here. I want to look at it both ways. You could look at it one side and say, in the last two games, the Miners have done a positive job in keeping games close against teams who are better than them. That's a positive way of looking at it. The negative side to that is, yeah, even though they're making positive strides, they're still losing in late game situations, which isn't going to bode well for UTEP going into the rest of non-conference play, which only includes the two games in the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational, and then the start of conference play, which really tips off in less than 2 weeks. La Tech on the road at Missouri State, at FIU, a three-game road stretch to start Conference USA. Sal, if you had to look at it, glass half full, glass half empty, how are you taking these two games to start the month of December in the two losses to Seattle and Hawaii if you're UTEP?
If I'm UTEP, I'm looking at it like, hey, these last two games that we had, significant improvement in talent that they're facing, right, as opposed to what they saw earlier in the year. And some teams that have form right now or have had some good form over the last couple of seasons. So you hold your own against them, basically where everybody thinks that you were just going to get blown out in those games. That's one way that you could look at it. You're just maybe a couple of plays away from it being on the other end. But, I mean, if you're the fans, you're like, okay, cool, you went out there and you battled, but what are you going to do to overcome that? How are you going to overcome those final couple of minutes so you can finally be the team on the other side? So, I mean, I see it both ways. That's the way that I see it. Hey, we're better than people think we are and just a couple of plays away from doing something.
Zay, water gun to the head. Which way are you going? Negative, positive after this one?
You know, I'll go positive, right? I'll go positive just because of how bad they were to start the year, right? And in the grand scheme of things, it's easy to go negative, right? This is, you know, year 5-7 being a Division I opponent. It's already going to be the big 2026, and, you know, UTEP is still winless against Division I opponents. But I'm just looking at it from this, right? This team was an Elijah Jones miracle three-pointer away from, you know, missing that from losing to a D3 team. And now, you know, you're going head-to-head with a good Hawaii team who I think we'll see play a bit bigger role in March. So I'm going to go positive here. You know, they're getting better. You can see it on, you know, on paper and when you're watching the game itself. And I think that I got to go positive here, even though, you know, a lot of me wants to go negative. A lot of me wants to go negative. But they looked good tonight, right? They looked good for spurts.
Yeah, I would say that I thought Hawaii was going to dominate this one. I expected the Rainbow Warriors to go out there and crush UTEP, especially with no Tyrese Watson. I was really worried with their lack of guard play that's been positive over the last couple weeks and now dealing without Tyrese Watson. But maybe, you know, it freed up more playing time for guys like Caleb Blackwell to finally get going. Look, 7 points doesn't feel like a lot. He fouled out in this one as well. But I like the four rebounds. I like the two steals, and even though he had three turnovers, he did have three assists in 29 minutes of action. So positive step forward for Caleb Blackwell. Trey Horton, I like the 10 points. He hit a trio of three-pointers in this one as well in 24 minutes of action in this game. And then KJ Thomas, a pair of three-pointers himself. So he finishes the game with 8 points. You're getting production from guards that you really haven't had production from. Really, you can make an argument all season long, Zay. And for those three guys, Caleb Blackwell, Trey Horton, and KJ Thomas, I thought they took a step forward here in this matchup today.
I agree, and, you know, I have a hot take that I'll save for after, you know, the Sun Bowl Invitational, right? Because I think the guards look good today. I think the guards look the best that they've looked in a while. You talked about it. KJ Thomas finally hit a couple of threes. Trey Horton looks like he's finally settling into his role after his, you know, turbulent start to the year, and in all, I think that Caleb Blackwell was a bit of an X factor today. I don't want to use that word, but he was, you know, the point guard of this team, and you could tell that when he was off the court, this UTEP offense just wasn't the same, right? And he was getting, you know, he was playing physical, he was playing aggressive. His defense really stood out to me tonight, and I mean, you said it, 7 points isn't much. He's not stuffing the stat sheet like he did at the JUCO level, but you could tell that he made a big difference offensively for this team, and I like his play. I like the guard play as a whole. Obviously, you need to get more scoring, more production out of them no matter what, but this is a step in the right direction, so I'm very, very pleased with how these guards played today.
Sal, the other side to it is the defense. Zay just talked about the offense. The defense showed up for the Miners in this one. Look at the block stats in this one. 2 blocks from Jamal West Jr., 2 blocks from Kasim Watson, and then a block from Elijah Jones, which was huge when he had his. I thought Tyus was going to lose it on air. And then same with Mohamed Embe, who's been playing nice off the bench. I really like the minutes he's providing for the Miners, you know, in his limited time off the bench. But the block party was here tonight for the Miners, which we don't typically see. I can't even remember a game where the Miners have had 5 or more blocks in a single game.
The thing, too, Adrian, is that's a byproduct of them just going out there and playing bigger than Hawaii tonight. They led in rebounding for a good chunk of the game until you know, those shots were being missed near the end. So the Miners don't get out rebounded 35-35, but they led that majority of the way, which I think is huge, right? You got to see these guys come down with the ball. It's like there was purpose as soon as they were getting that ball early on, and I mean, it was impressive to see, because that's something that people have been wanting, right, from UTEP. Hey, play bigger. You're probably undersized against pretty much, you know, 90%+ of teams on your schedule. So you got to go ahead and try to overcompensate with some other things. And it made the game easier for them, right? We've seen them struggle at times, and that's because they're not getting the ball when it's coming off of the rim. They're not playing bigger. And today they did that. You saw how it benefited them.
And look at the first half, right? The Hawaii Rainbow Warriors shot 31% from the field, 27% from beyond the arc. The Miners did everything they could in that first half, and then the second half, it was a different story. Rainbow Warriors shoot 52% from the field, 37% from beyond the arc, and then 77% from the free throw line, including 14 of 18 from the charity stripe. That's where the game was won, guys. Like, look, we can go both ways. We can talk about this one till we're blue in the face about how the Miners have really, you know, the 14 or 15 losses to Division I opponents dating back to last year. No one likes that, right? Those stats are terrible. The fact that they're 0-6 against Division I teams. I'm not going to take really a lot of positives away from a loss like that. Is this a step in the right direction? Maybe, yeah. And what does that mean in the future? That's where I don't really know, right? Because let's say they beat Norfolk State. Do you really see them winning the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational Championship game the very next day on that Monday, the 22nd? I don't know. And then on the road at La Tech, I'm calling that a loss. At Missouri State, that's a coin flip. And then at FIU, that's a loss right there. So, yeah, I mean, in the next 5 games or so for the Miners, we could be seeing maybe 2 victories out of those next 5. And what does that mean for UTEP right there? That means going and being a 5-9 team, really turning the page going into 2026. Zay, any thoughts on that? Like, if you really had to look at the schedule ahead and try to piece together more wins for the Miners, I just don't know where you're going to find them.
Yeah, it's tough to do, right? And you talked about that tough conference slate to open up the conference here, right? You got to go on the road three straight games. And, you know, I think Missouri State and FIU are winnable, but, you know, any road conference game is going to be tough. And we know how bad UTEP has been historically, especially these last couple of years on the road in conference play. So you're right, right? It's hard to piece together wins, which makes tonight's loss a little bit more sour because, I mean, we've talked about it. They could have won this game. They really had a shot. And I think we find ourselves talking about could have on this show a lot because UTEP is there and they're just not putting it together down the stretch, and that's disappointing. So it's going to be hard to piece together wins going into the new year, but hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do and get a win against Norfolk State when you have that shot and give your chance to play for a championship. You know, they can really put, they can throw the sink at the championship game if you get there, right? Because that could really change your whole season.
Let's go to some comments here on Twitter and X here, and thanks to everybody who chimed in with us on a late-night Miner Talk. Guys, we haven't had a 1 a.m. Miner Talk, it feels like, since you know, the UTEP football team went into shambles, and we had late-night UTEP football games that spilled into, you know, midnight and maybe 1 a.m. So it's been a while since we've done this. I feel a little rusty when it comes to doing a past-midnight Miner Talk, guys. But we're nonetheless, we appreciate all the comments that we've gotten on this one here on the program already. Chi-Town Miner gets us started. Golding's biggest issue is recruiting and roster building. Telling that his best regular season was when he inherited players like Sule Boom and Keontae Kennedy. He would have never recruited because of their defense. Instead, he builds his team of dogs, but they're so limited offensively. Interesting one right there. UTEP News, I think a five-year-old could tell Bye was going to be a better option to have in the game than Trey Horton. Joe Golding doesn't see it. And then Chi-Town Miner with the follow-up. Guys, this year's men's basketball team doesn't have it. They played hard. I like them. But there's no go-to scorer. Maybe Tyrese Watson if he wasn't hurt. Maybe we'd have a better offense if assistant coach Steve Green didn't retire preseason. It's a team of solid role players trying their best. I'll keep cheering. Hashtag Miner Talk. Sal, your thoughts on Chi-Town Miners. Two different posts there, and I think the last one was pretty intriguing right there.
What was the first one again?
Well, the first one was pretty much talking about his biggest issue being recruiting and roster building. The second one talking about really no go-to scorer and no real offense for them.
It's easy to say that right now, but I think what we're seeing, you know, that's a consistent trend under a Golding system. I think we could throw a Sule Boom out of the mixture here, right? It's kind of like, you know, he makes everybody better. I could coach and he could draw 50. But what I mean, though, is the consistent trend is just the offense not being there. I mean, we've seen talented players who have hit the portal and kind of shine, you know, in respective roles outside of UTEP. So it's hard to say that the recruiting is not necessarily there. I get it. There could be some improvements, but I just think it's the lack of offensive consistency that this team continues to show out there night in and night out, year in and year out under an offense like this.
Yeah, I think you're right there. It's not just this year's kind of thing. It's kind of an every year situation for you. Even it's not just a Golding thing. Even dating back to the Rodney Terry era, their offense wasn't really good either. So for you to find the last UTEP, you know, solid offensive team, it's going to take a while. You'd have to probably look the Dominic Artists of the world squads and, you know, Omega Harris's of the world, those teams right there with Irvin Morris, that like 2016 team that had a pretty solid offense. But yeah, I would say, I mean, I have to go back and look at some of the KenPom numbers to really try to identify a good offensive, you know, UTEP basketball team. Maybe that 2021 Rodney Terry team by default, because they had Bryson Williams and Sule Boom. It was just kind of like your turn, my turn type of offense. And then, you know, maybe you could even say like last year's offense could at least get you a bucket, like Corey Camper Jr. after a big scoring drought, or a David Terrell Jr. after a big scoring drought could get you a bucket. I just don't know if this team has that bucket getter here at this point of the season. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next. Let's go to the phones. It's Augustine who's hanging out with us very late night here on the program. Augustine, Dean, why are you up?
Hey, good. I just came from the. Well, two parts. went to the movies, then heard the second half of the game, and I got one opinion for you guys, and I think this might hit a couple of nerves, but I think we're judging this team a little bit too harshly. And just let me say this. You just had a tweet from somebody say that the only time Golding was good when he inherited that team. And, yeah, that team was gelled. That team knew how to play together. The thing is with these teams, they're not playing together. You can tell it's an entirely new team. So I think how they play today, you can tell there's something there. There is talent there. There's just no understanding between them. That's what I feel more than anything with this team, that there is no understanding between them. There, it's like with other teams, they know where somebody else is going to be at. It's an automatic pass. It's whatever like that, but not with this team. Not yet, at least.
It's a fair point. And Augustine, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. Thanks for listening to us so late and catching up late here with us on the program. I think you had a recent call talking a little bit about chemistry as well. And I think the chemistry issues have continued here. And I think that's why, Joe Golding was taking, post game was talking about how this team is hurting still. This team is disappointed off the loss. And this team really wants to find a victory. But that comes with getting better when it comes to chemistry, and I'm with you on that they don't really have that yet. I think it's pretty obvious that they're trying to find that chemistry. They're trying to find their identity out too. They're switching up different lineups. They've got different starting lineups almost every single game, and so that's what you're really seeing out there for UTEP basketball, is that they're still trying to find and develop that chemistry with this new team, this newly built squad. And even though they have the summer, even though they've had these 9 games so far on their season, the chemistry just isn't there. And I think the argument could go against UTEP and say, well, hey, there's a lot of other teams who build rosters year over year. How come they can gel so quickly and UTEP can? And I think that's a fair comparison to make and a fair judgment to make against UTEP right now here early into the season. And I also think there was something to UTEP thinking that they had certain players who were going to be their guys. You can make that argument that it was going to be Tyrese Watson, Jamal West, whatever. I think there was a little bit of that too, is that, with expectations and with the types of recruits that they were trying to get into the program, I think they had expectations that these guys would help carry them in certain areas. And I don't know if those guys have necessarily lived up to that just yet. So a little bit of chemistry and a little bit of kind of not living up to those expectations that fans and maybe even the coaching staff had on some of these players. 915-505-6009. Hawaii beats UTEP 66-61. We're talking about it here on Minor Talk. Let's get back to some more comments here on the program. Joe Chacon was hoping for a dub. Would have made going into my birthday a good day, but it is what it is. I'm still happy right now. Come over for wings and ribs later. Hashtag Adrian is my brodus. Hashtag Sal is my pal. Hashtag Zay all the way. Hashtag the big 46. Man, he's so old. Poor Joe. Gosh, he's so old. 46 years old. Man, that's really, really old. But good stuff, Joe. Happy birthday, man. Appreciate you chiming in on the program. Also here is Tristan Pence. Plain and simple, UTEP's defense stunk in the second half. The final 5 minutes of each half is always a disaster for UTEP. The issue hasn't been consistent for the past 5 years. 100% a coaching problem. Number two, UTEP has now lost 14 of their last 15 games against Division I opponents. Golding's record is now 72-69 at UTEP. Remove wins against lower division teams and FIU, and his record is putrid. Coach Joe Golding claims that he's done a good job at UTEP. He needs to resign. Oh, man, Zay, those were some harsh words coming from fans who are just fed up with it. When you see the stat of the 14 of the last 15 games against Division I opponents, fair or one of those that's almost a bit of a reach, knowing that last year was last year, it's a totally different roster? How do you look at that stat?
No, I think that's I don't think that's a reach, right? Because look, last year they came back on the 10-33. We're here to prove a point, and they just absolutely fumbled right down the stretch after that NMSU game. They were just terrible, and they had expectations going into that one. People had expectations going into this year, and just to lose 14 of your last 15 games against Division I opponents, that's bad, right? Joe Goldney is 60-69 during his time here at UTEP against Division I teams. That's unacceptable. And I was hearing the broadcast today, right? And they were talking about, you know, how 18 wins for UTEP is great, how that's just that's so good. And I was just so sad that that's how, you know, people view this program now. Because once upon a time, you know, when I was growing up, 18 wins probably wasn't even that good, right? This was a program that was consistently, you know, getting up there in the 20 wins, reaching the NIT even in the mid-2010s. Like, it's a big fall off for this program, and it's disappointing to see.
Yeah, I would say that, first off, the note is valid by Tristan Pence and the fans who continue to point out the Division I. Because last year's squad, like Zay was talking about, was disappointing. And fans were expecting a bit of a reset going into this year. Like, hey, last year was last year, this year is this year. Let's be a lot better this year. And it hasn't been that to start out this season. Far West Texas at Will says, the Hawaii crowd and environment was a nice change from the sparse crowds in Conference USA. Great tease for the next Mountain West next year. I like that point right there. Good job, Far West Texas. Also says, also with Hawaii's general manager Patty Mills playing a supporting role, this highlights the lack of movement from UTEP Athletics and Hardaway for general manager. That's a two-parter right there, Sal, but I'll start with the first part, talking about the Mountain West change and how this is a first test right there. This is that litmus test. It was a great battle. And hey, this was also a test for us on Minor Talk, like a fatigue test. Are we ready for the Hawaii games? Not just That's for true. Basketball, but also for football. We got to be ready.
Oh man, no, bring it on. I don't care, because it's going to be a lot of fun, right? And we're also going to get more traction on it. There's going to be more people watching it on TV, because guess what? It's actually on TV. That's an amazing thing. So I'm thrilled about it. The closest thing I could think of, and it's not exactly this. I mean, it's kind of more layers to it than just, you know, hey, you're in the same conference. But it felt a little bit like listening to a New Mexico State game. Just a little bit, right? If this is just the tip of the iceberg, I can't wait to see what else there is in the Mountain West. And also, while we're on the topic, I understand of the free throw disparity, but at least for a good 30 minutes, I was like, this is Mountain West officiating. I love it. They're letting them play. So I was all in, man. I can't wait.
Zay, the second part of that, talking about general manager. First off, do you know that Patty Mills was the GM for Hawaii?
I had no clue. Shout out Patty Mills, San Antonio Spurs legend, NBA 2K legend. I don't know if anybody plays 2K, like maybe 18 or something on the blacktop. I would draft Patty Mills, and like he's like a 70 overall, but man, he was like so fun to play with. And I did not know he was the general manager of this Hawaii team, but he built out a pretty solid roster. And, you know, that's just the way college athletics are now. UTEP needs to hire Tim Hardaway as possibly their GM.
I think they need somebody as a GM just to try to help move the needle for them. And I've been seeing it for a lot of different programs. They'll just kind of get somebody and not really pay them a ton of money, but really get somebody who can help out on the optics side of things. So totally behind that. Good stuff, Will, at Far West Texas. I truly do believe UTEP needs a GM here moving forward. Hey, speaking of just kind of thinking of the past and everything like this, Zay, you swung the stat to me about, you know, former Miner David Terrell Jr., who is balling out right now. And this doesn't feel good. You know, this really doesn't, because I hate to say this and I hate to admit this, but I was hoping, I guess hoping is the wrong word. I was just expecting a little bit of a dip in terms of production from David Terrell Jr. when he transferred over from UTEP to North Texas. Mean Green, better program. UTEP last year depended on David Terrell Jr. I was expecting a bit of a drop off in production for David Terrell Jr. Instead, this might be the best version that we've ever seen of him on a basketball court. Look at what he's doing so far. He's shooting almost 40% from three-point range. He's making 45% of his two-pointers so far. And tonight, in a loss to TCU, 10-point loss, he had 16 points. He had two assists. He had two steals in that matchup, and he's had a really productive season for a mean green squad who is going to flirt for a contention in the American Athletic Conference right there. So a little David Terrell Jr. corner and just saying that, man, this guy's shining right now.
He sure is, and it's the most unsurprising thing to me. Everybody knows I've been on this David Terrell train from the start, man. Mansfield Summit legend comes to UTEP. As a true freshman, just balls out, and I think that it's disappointing, right? It's disappointing because you knew that this was in him, and he just really could never unlock it here at UTEP, and he's doing it back home in North Texas, and he's balling out, right? Corey Camper had 30 points for Nevada, I think, a couple weeks ago. Like, those two guys, we knew they had it, and it's sad to know that, you know, the best that they did here at UTEP was a loss in the CUSA tournament a couple years ago.
Well, also, you look at David Terrell Jr., right? He goes for 160, you know, rumored to go $160,000 to North Texas. Corey Camper Jr. rumors to go $300,000 to Nevada. And look at what Corey Camper is doing right now. 16 points right now a game with Nevada. He's averaging 3 rebounds, 2 assists, shooting 44% from the field. Wow. Against UCSD this past Tuesday, 15 points. Against San Francisco last Friday, 22 points. Man, I took him for granted. I can raise my hand and say I took Corey Camper Jr. for granted while he was at UTEP. And Sal, if you could pick one or the other, who would you pick to come back? NIL aside, if you could pick one of those guys back for just one more year, would you have had David Terrell Jr. or Corey Camper Jr., knowing what you know about this current roster and this current team at UTEP?
Knowing, oh man, that's so tough.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
You know what? I'm gonna go. Actually, it's not that hard. I would pick David Terrell Jr.
Oh, me too, and Zay would too. I don't even have to ask.
And the reason why, let me just say this: the style of basketball would be more fitting towards David Terrell Jr., right? You want to see him be that facilitator, kind of be that everything, because we talk about, like, hey, guys getting buckets and all this stuff. Like, there's a little bit more value in what a DTJ could do for sure.
Zay, we took them both for granted, man. I feel like a bit of a gut punch right here. I don't even know how to describe it very well, but this one feels very similar to when Sule Boom left UTEP, and I felt like, man, just one more year, if only that would have been the case. And I think it's unrealistic to even expect that nowadays.
You know, you're right. And look, like, it's a tough feeling. Like, it's like I'm pining for David Terrell to be in a UTEP uniform. Like, I miss it. Like, that was good basketball, man. Like, he was a good basketball player. UTEP fans took him for granted. That's easy. You know, this guy got a lot of hate for being the point guard of this team. But look, at the end of the day, I guess, you know, there was games where it just didn't work, right? Even for Corey Camper, he disappeared in a lot of games offensively for this team last year. And, you know, I think we're seeing him ball out now, right? Maybe it just didn't work in Joe's system, but who does work in Joe's system? I think that's the question that we need to ask. How do you let a guy like Corey Camper, he did play good and he had a couple of solid outings last year. I know he struggled with injuries as well, but how can a guy who's averaging 16, you know, points, shooting 45% for a good Mountain West team struggle in a lot of the games that we had last year here at UTEP? You know, it's a tough question, and I'll never know. I don't think we'll ever know. We're not, you know, basketball geniuses, but something has to give, right?
I'm just going to say this, guys. Let's put a pin on it for a while. We could text about it, but let's not. We've revisited this, I think, the last two editions of Minor Talk, or two of the last three at least. But let's not revisit the David Terrell, Corey Camper Jr. for like a month. Let's give it some time to breathe, and we'll kind of revisit this topic, you know, in about a month or so, and see how, and do a check-in on both guys. Fair? Is that fair?
I think we can revisit it in March when, you know, they're playing in the tournament again. Each other. when it's the Mean Green against the Wolf Pack in the tournament. That's when whoever wins that one, it's going to be like Jelly Walker against Tyler Perry back in the good Conference USA days.
It's going to be like Sule Boom versus Ron Terry. Like in the good old NCAA tournament days. Let's talk a little. Let's talk before we wrap up the show here on the program, guys. And I appreciate both of you guys hanging around late here on the program. Let's close it out talking UTEP football. Miners had two guys enter the portal today. Want to speak to both of these players because I think it's two tough losses again. Portal has really hit UTEP in a bad way this offseason. Let's talk about both of these guys. When it comes to Udoka Izani, that guy was an all-conference honoree who hit the portal recently. And this is a guy right here who Udoka Izani really provided a spark at the pass rushing position for UTEP last year. I was going to be really surprised if he elected to stay another year after this past season. You know, the first six games were great for Udoka. And then I wouldn't say he tailed off. He just lacked in production the final six games. Still somebody who, I didn't expect necessarily to come back to UTEP. And yeah, now we hear it. 6'2", 230, 600-plus snaps this past year, 5 sacks, 11.5 tackles for losses, 2 forced fumbles, 2 pass breakups, and 1 year left in eligibility for Udoka Izanize. Another guy who hits the portal for UTEP.
You know, Udoka Izani, he played that, I think, bandit position for the Miners, and he'll warrant a lot of interest in the portal. He's a very versatile piece defensively, and it's another tough loss for this UTEP team who has just lost a lot of production, right? And we can go back and forth on, you know, who we wanted back, who we didn't. At the end of the day, it looks like there's not going to be a lot of guys coming back. So the Boise State transfer is on the move, and this UTEP defense is going to need to really dig deep onto what they have now and into the portal if they want to compete next year, right? Because this defense was the calling card of this team, and they've lost a good chunk of the guys that they called on.
Well, you say defense, but what about that offensive line? I think everybody's gone. Like, the whole offensive line's gone. Think about it, right? Center, Ivan Escobar. Left guard, Joseph Immediato. Both those guys graduate. James Williams, Mark Robinson hit the portal. Then that last position where it was just like a revolving door. Jake Utley, Tyrone McDuffie, Jaquan Toney, all out. I mean, it's Jaquan Toney graduated, and Utley and McDuffie hit the portal. Zay, no offensive lineman back for 2026. They're going to have to hit a complete reset. Are you building around Tyler Roberts? Are you building around, like, who are you building around on that offensive front next year?
That's a good question. That's a question that Coach Scotty Walden and his GM are going to need to look long and hard at because, I mean, when Coach Walden came into sports talk a couple weeks ago, he talked about building, you know, through the high school ranks and everything.
Yes.
But right now, you know, I think there was a lot of different positions that we did see some high schoolers get a lot of playing time at. Offensive line was not one of them, right? You talked about Tyler Roberts. He got a good start in last year. But outside of him, like, I really don't know any of the younger offensive linemen that got meaningful reps that look, you know, not all that bad. Like, this is rough territory for this UTEP team because the offensive line was something of concern last year when it came to, you know, bringing continuity back, right? You returned Ivan Escobar, but outside of that, you didn't have a lot of guys coming back that played real reps. And now you said it there. Basically, all 5 of their starters are gone, and you're nearing hitting that red button if you're a UTEP fan. I know some already have. I haven't, but after all this portal madness, like, it's getting a little scary, right? UTEP's going to need to really, really find some dudes. They're going to need to find some dudes, and I know Coach Walden has his NIL. They have a set budget for each position now, but you might need to bump it up for the offensive line, you know?
Let's go back to the phones. 915-505-6009. Trolley Dodgers back with us. Trolley, it's late, man. I don't know if we could do this one with you tonight, but give me the shortened version of the long version that you're going to give us here tonight.
What up, Adrian, Zay, Sal? What up? Dude, we came out firing in the first half. At first, we started off 5-0. I was like, nah, here we go. But then we went on an 18-2 run, and I was like, yo, who is this team? We showed a lot of hustle. In the first half, it's the hustle. Shooting percentage, and free throw, and 3-point, but the hustle gave us the lead and gave us that 18-2 run, 14-point lead, and all that good stuff. In the second half, all that little stuff made the difference, you know, being 50% from the free throw, especially having such a disparaging, you know, I think they went 22 times and we only went 10 times or whatever to the free throw line. And it was only like a 6-point, 4 or 5-point victory. We had it. This is the first time that even though it's still a loss and we haven't gotten a D1 victory, this is the first time that I saw them play well. That's it, bro. That's all I got to say.
You know what? That was a great call, Charlie Dodger, with a little bit of humor, but a lot of good takes here on this call. So good stuff, Charlie Dodger. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for hanging with us so late, man. I appreciate your phone call in a big way. 915-505-6009. Charlie Dodger with some heat with us here on the program. So good stuff right there. Pinky and Joe arguing with us on Twitter next about old. You know, I'm just messing with everybody here on the program. Calling Joe Chacon old on the program. But Charlie Dodger brought up some good points. That second half was really that part where you saw things unravel. 41-32 was what Hawaii outscored UTEP. Hey, by the way, Miners covered today as an underdog. They were like 11.5-point underdogs, and I thought that was a lot of points either way on both sides. So happy that the Miners were able to cover here today from a betting perspective. And, you know, as far as tonight, no moral victories. I get it from a lot of UTEP fans. And, you know, they're going to have to turn the page and take on a team in Norfolk State where I haven't remembered a must-win game in the first round of the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational like we're going to end up seeing. And you look at Norfolk State. They've played some really tough opponents over the last month or so. Wyoming, Arizona, James Madison, most recently against Baylor. Before they play UTEP, they'll take on Grambling State and Jackson State. So they might get some wins under their belt before they play the Miners. They're 4-7 overall. The Spartans of Norfolk State, coached by Robert Jones, who's been there forever and has had success with this team out of the MEAC. This team right here, you know, they're a group that the Miners can definitely beat in that first round game of the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. But guys, I'll turn it to you. I guess some final thoughts. Zay, weave in some of the fantasy stats in this when you give your final thoughts here on the program today, because we'll do a little fantasy check-in. But what do you think about the Miners kind of heading into the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational and then just having that urgency to try to get a win finally under their belt?
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Norfolk State, and, you know, Sal has their schedule pulled up right here. And they're, like you said, they're not a bad team, you know. Coming out of the MEAC, they have to play a lot of bye games, but they go out there, they compete. They went up against James Madison a couple nights ago, looked pretty nice. So it's not a gimme. No game, I think, this year for UTEP has been a gimme outside of maybe the first two non-Division I guys. And it's going to be interesting to see. UTEP's going to, like you said, it's a must win. If UTEP loses this one, all the momentum that you've kind of built up through these past couple of losses, it's gone, right? All that, you know, kind of somewhat moral victory, we're not as bad as we thought, you know, we can put this thing together, it's gone, right? If you lose to Norfolk State at home, and we'll see. And you talked about that late three or, you know, UTEP covering. That had a lot of implications for fantasy basketball.
Okay.
But I'll let you guys guess. Who do you think won this game?
Sal did with Elijah Jones, and I mean I'm out totally because of no Tyrese Watson.
Yeah, you know, it was a rough game for you, Adrian. You had only 12 points, and all 12 of those points came from KJ Thomas.
So nice.
David Tubek had a great donut for you. He put up zero fantasy points. But and then, you know, it was a rough game for Chris as well. He put up 24 points and 25 points for Jamal West, actually. He had 25.9 for him, but
wow.
Cassius Brooks had negative 1.0 points. So, you know, rough game for Chris. And, yeah, the winner was Sal. He came in with a 50.5 points tonight.
50 burger, nice.
Wow.
Caleb Blackwell, you know, had a good game for him, 19.3. And then, like you said, Elijah Jones had 23.4. And then the unsung hero, Muhammad Bey, 7.8 points. So
let's go.
He Sal low-key again. Back-to-back years where he just gets absolute steals. Like, I just I you know, some of the picks you can make arguments maybe a little safer. That first one with you know, the way that he was able to get Caleb Blackwell and then second round Elijah Jones. But look at the Mbe. Like, Muhammad Bai is probably going to play more minutes for UTEP as this season continues. So that third guy who we just wrote off could end up being a contributor for UTEP, whereas my team, I could be losing Tyrese Watson for an extended period, and then Tubek is a ghost. So it might be over, guys. Like, I might have to retire off the fantasy kick after a while.
Yep, and for me, you know, I'm in last place still, but I came in second place tonight, 46.5 points, and
nice.
Kasim Watson, you know, if he's able to wake up and give me some points like this every game, he had 27 points tonight. I think that's the most out of any minor, 27 fantasy points. Trey Horton, 17.5. Bobby Montgomery had a bucket in there, only 2 points for him. But things are on the come up for Zay's team, although I am still in last place. And the totals, Sal is still in first place. He has 387 points.
Let's go.
Chris is right behind him, 374 points. Adrian, you're still in the thick of it, 329 points. But like you said, losing Tyrese Watson is going to hurt. I think... by default, I guess you get Jordan Hernandez now.
Yeah,
I can graduate. No, let me get CJ Smith, because remember, no one drafted him.
So you'll get CJ Smith in Tyrese's place, I guess, while he's gone. You have 329, and I'm still in last by a big amount, 241. But I'm on the come up. I'm on the come up.
Yeah, it's not over yet. And hey, Slim Reaper, Kasim Watson, starting to turn things around a little bit. By the way, good rebounds from him today. UTEP was right there, even on the glass, and it was because of Kasim Watson in this matchup here today. Sal, I'll give you some final thoughts here from this one as we wrap up the show here on Minor Talk. Your thoughts, Miners 0-6 against D1 opponents heading into this game in the Westar Don Haskins Sumble Invitational against Norfolk State.
It's going to be huge, but I think coming off of this game, obviously you don't win, but some takeaways, two things that stood out to me. We mentioned one of them earlier, and that was, you know, just being able to be efficient early in the first half with those, and by efficient, I mean getting stops and scoring and just playing bigger in that regard. But one thing I like, and we haven't seen this much, is fast break UTEP. Right, being able to score in transition. They did it in succession numerous times in the first half. That's what started that lead. So if you can continue to do those parts into the tournament, you'll have a good chance. But just got to be real, guys. In theory, right, records-wise, Norfolk State is probably the most likely game that the Miners can get a win on. But if it's North Dakota State, or if it's going to be I'm trying to see who else they have over here, UC Irvine, that's going to be a really, really tough matchup for the Miners. So at best, in my opinion, it's a 1-1.
At best. Mm-hmm. And I think that could even include losing to Norfolk State and then winning that second game. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if that ends up being the case. We've seen that before, too. We've seen that where UTEP loses that first game and then, you know, wins that second game instead. But still, that would be a disappointment for sure, knowing that Miners are what they won last year in the Western Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. The year before, they also, if I'm not mistaken, they also won it. So they beat Wyoming, 2 years ago. So they want to make it a three-peat right here. I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think that's going to be an uphill battle right there. But, guys, can't thank you enough. You guys hung around late. Sal Montes, Zay Galindo, everybody hung around late here tonight with us here on the program. Special thanks to all the listeners who chimed in through social media, through the phone lines, and then, of course, through our app as well. We're going to sign off here tonight. We're going to say so long. Thanks for listening to Minor Talk. We're back in action a week from today, officially, because today's Sunday right now. It is Sunday officially. So a week from today, Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational, must-win game, Norfolk State. You miss any of the show here today, you can listen to us on demand on the podcast wherever you listen to Minor Talk. For Zay Galindo, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're officially signing off and saying so long, and thanks for listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.